Sometimes I feel like I'm in a Tom and Jerry cartoon. You know, the old cat and mouse, and one of them is always trying to get the other. But there's this one scene in these cartoons that always somehow just strikes me as reality. I'm having a thought in my head, but it's as if a little angel pops up on one shoulder speaking one thing, and a little devil pops up on the other shoulder speaking another. I really think life is like that sometimes. Who knew that a simple children's cartoon could teach us so much about the spiritual life? Thank God, though, he doesn't leave us at the whims of these little angels and devils. He has a much bigger plan for how he wants to guide us in our life. Thank you for listening to the Christian Life Podcast. I'm Scott Ingram, your host, and this is episode number 7. Growing in discernment. When we talk about the gift of discernment biblically, what most people want to think about is discerning between different types of spirits. And so if you have any background in understanding both the angelic realm and the demonic realm, there's a hierarchy of angels and demons within each. And so some people think about the gift of discernment being primarily determining which spirit is speaking, what the motivation of that spirit is, and those things. Is it an angel or is it a demon? And is the demon a demon of temptation? Is it a demon of affliction? And those sort of things. And while there is an element of discernment in that, that's not the element I want to talk about in this episode. For the last two podcasts, we have been discussing hearing God's voice. We have discussed the revelatory gifts in the Bible, and we have discussed different ways biblically you can receive those revelatory gifts, things like dreams and visions and trances and all of those. You can go back and listen to the other episodes. But specifically, what I want to discuss in this podcast is, how do we know if we're truly hearing the voice of God, or maybe we're hearing our own thoughts, our own imaginations, or worst case, we're actually hearing the input from the enemy, the devil and his demons, who are trying to trick us into thinking it's God speaking? And so we've been talking about hearing God's voice, but the Bible does seem to tell us that every Christian, every believer can hear all three of these voices. And so it's important that we have to learn to discern who it is we're hearing from and why. And so I want to discuss the three voices that every believer hears in their mind. The first voice and the most obvious voice that we all hear is our own voice. We speak to ourselves all the time. Some of us who care to admit it speak to ourselves out loud. But all of us, every human being, speaks to themselves internally. We have our own thoughts. We have our own imagination. We have our own emotions. This is actually the key to human existence. We are self-aware, and because we are self-aware, we can analyze, we can prioritize. We're not just creatures of instinct, but we were designed by God with intelligence and with personality. So when we talk about the voice of your mind, we're talking about your own thoughts, your own wants, your own needs. And according to some philosophers, even secular philosophers, this mental capacity, which makes up who you are, is something that we couldn't live without. It is the self, or what some philosophers call the ego. Everyone knows the famous quote, cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. When Descartes penned that phrase, he was actually trying to prove everything by first doubting everything. And one of the very first things he felt like philosophically he could prove was his own existence, because he had rational thought. This comes from the Greek word psyche, which we talk about psychologist or psychotherapist. This is the psyche. This is what makes you who you are. But it's the Greek word where we get the English understanding of the soul. So if we really dug into that, we would say that humanity is a triune being. We have body, soul, and spirit. But the truth is, you are a soul. You exist as a soul. The soul is what allows you to say, I am, I think. It's not your body that makes you who you are. Your body is the fleshly home for your psyche, and your spirit is your spiritual home, your spiritual version of the body for the psyche. So you are a soul that possesses a body and a spirit. If we were to talk, this is not good theology, but if we were going to talk in basic terms of the Trinitarian parts of God, we have Jesus, who was body, we have the Holy Spirit, who is spirit, but we have God the Father, who is the soul. He is the complete existence of God. Even though they are three in one, completely tied together, the Bible tells us that Jesus was the exact representation of God the Father, the soul, the thing that makes God what he is. And in the same way, you are a soul first, and your soul reasons, it rationalizes, it feels. Don't just think about your brain, though. Most of the time when we talk about your soul, we're talking about your heart. You're doing something from the heart. It's what really drives your passions. It's who you are. This is what we talk about when we say the voice of our mind, the voice of ourselves. It's coming from who you are, your identity speaking within you. The problem is that our soul, our mind, our thoughts, our will, our emotions were corrupted at the fall of man. That self-voice in our head is influenced by all different forms of emotions, some healthy, some unhealthy. We're influenced by every form of external stimuli. And we can't always trust ourselves to make good decisions. The Bible tells us that the heart of man is wicked above all else. That part of us that we reason with, that drives us, that guides us, has been corrupted at the fall. However, if you're born again, your soul has been renewed, and now you are capable of making good decisions, of having good thoughts, and of doing things that are right before the eyes of God. When we talk about the doctrine of total depravity, the total sinfulness of humanity, we're countering the secular thought that humanity generally is good. The truth is, if you're not born again, if you're not a Christian and you haven't been renewed by Jesus Christ, your soul is in bondage to sin, and therefore your will, mind, and emotions are going to tend towards selfishness and sinfulness above doing what is right. It's a desire that I only want what feels good for me. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I want my comfort. I want my security. I want my plan. I want my goals. And we overlook what God's speaking. But when you're born again, and especially the closer and more intimately you can draw to Christ, this voice is going to become more and more conformed to the mind of God. The second voice that every person on this planet hears is the voice of the enemy, the voice of the devil. Now, many people believe that the devil doesn't exist, that this was some superstition back in biblical days, but I'm always reminded of the famous story, famous passage from the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, where the devil says the greatest thing he is able to accomplish among humanity is to make humanity believe he's not there, that he doesn't exist. The Bible tells us that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is out to destroy everything God created us to be in our identity and everything God has destined us to do in ruling this world on his behalf. Now, when we hear the voice of the devil, he is going to flood us with sinful desires. We know that that's true. This is what he did in the very beginning to Adam and Eve. Her own voice in her head is looking at the fruit on the tree, and it says she saw that the fruit was desirable for food. It was desirable to eat. It was a beautiful fruit. Maybe you're like me and you enjoy different fruit, but just imagine you are walking through a fruit stand. You're seeing all these different fruits, but then you see the absolute most beautiful, shiny red apple you've ever seen in your life, or because I live in Uganda, the most perfectly shaded green and orange mango, perfect size, perfect texture. That's all it says Adam or Eve saw. Eve saw the fruit that it was desirable and good for food. But the voice of the enemy then comes in and starts telling her lies. Did God really say you can't eat this fruit? Look at this fruit. This fruit is beautiful. This fruit looks so juicy and delicious. God knows that eating a fruit's not going to kill you. Then he adds the temptation, more than it's not going to kill you, God knows that if you eat this fruit, you will be like him. You don't even have to listen to him anymore. You can be your own God. The voice of the enemy came to Eve and spoke lies, and when she was listening to the voice of the enemy, she allowed her own mind and will and emotions and thoughts and desires to be co-opted, and she gave in to the sin. The same is true for us. The enemy wants to bring sinful desires and sinful temptations, and while the flesh is corrupt and we are naturally inclined to sin on our own, there is a major element in society where the enemy tempts us to sin and we don't realize that it's him doing so. Once we do give in to sin, once we do commit acts that are against God, then the devil's going to flood our thoughts with these discouraging thoughts, these shameful thoughts, these condemning thoughts. The devil always speaks lies to us to see if we're going to accept what he's telling us as truth. He tells us things like, you're not good enough, you're so stupid, you're all alone. How could God love you if you did that? No one loves you. You're never going to stop sinning. Why even try? Those are lies from the devil, but we all hear them in our head all the time. These are the thoughts that lead many Christians to withdraw from the church community and live in this self-loathing solitude because they think they'll never be able to be used by God in a meaningful way. In reality, though, these are not our own thoughts. They're lies that we have to reject. We have to learn through faith to believe and hold on to the things that God says are true. That's what I want you to hear. The enemy wants to tell you that God's words are lies, but God's words are what we have to hold to as truth. The third voice that every one of us are able to hear in our head, though most of humanity has tuned it out, is the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking. Now, I don't think it's any coincidence that when you watch old cartoons on television and you see the issues of conscience, the voices that pop up on the shoulders are an angel and a little devil trying to tell you what's good and trying to tell you what's wrong. Those cartoonists actually knew what was going on when the enemy is speaking one thing to you, but the good side of our conscience is still that spark from the Holy Spirit within mankind, that within our heart of hearts, because God has put himself, his image into humanity, we have a moral compass that guides us. All of us, when we pay attention to that moral compass, are being drawn to God. He wants to reveal himself to us, and so the Holy Spirit is speaking to all of humanity, trying to pull us back to his truth. Everyone can hear God speaking, but this is especially true for Christians. Now, we've been talking about hearing God's voice for the last two podcasts. I'm not digging into it again, but the truth is that most people don't know how to tune in to what God is saying. I've heard Chris Vallotton, a pastor out at Bethel Church in California, he runs their supernatural ministry school there, compare it to listening to a radio. And he says people want to hear God speaking, they believe God is speaking, but it's like he's speaking on an FM radio station, but we're searching the entire AM band, and we wonder why we can't tune in and find him. And so in order to practice discernment, we have to learn how to tune in to God and tune out all of the other interfering thoughts. So the key is discerning how God speaks to you personally. That's what we talked about in the last episode. Once you do that, then you can make every effort to tune in as often as possible to hear how he is speaking and leading you on a regular basis. The good news is, We can learn all of that stuff that we've talked about from the Bible, from the past. We can learn from other generations and get a reliable idea of how God speaks to us today, but you have to figure it out for yourself. Once you learn to distinguish these three voices in your head, that's when you will really grow in discernment. So now let us fix our attention on how can we actually discern when it's God speaking, when it's our own imagination, and when it's the devil speaking to us. Let's actually talk about how do we grow in discernment. One of the things you have heard me talk about is two-way journaling. Back when I learned how to do this two-way journal, which if you're unfamiliar, I got the idea. I learned about it from a man named Mark Verkler in his book, Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice. I highly recommend that book. But I keep a two-way journal regularly. I have since I learned to do it in 2012. This is when I was really learning to hear the voice of God. And so one night, while I was living in Haiti, I was sitting up on that balcony that I've talked about, and I'm asking God to speak. And I ask him one night, how do I grow in discernment? And this is exactly what he told me. This is taken exactly from my journal. I'm reading to you directly right now. But I said, God, what is your gift of discernment as opposed to a natural discernment, to a fleshly discernment, the thing inside us that says this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad? And the Lord told me this, natural discernment most often plays out for self-protection and self-promotion. My discernment, God's discernment, on the other hand, is for kingdom promotion. There may be elements of personal benefit as a byproduct, but that is never the primary focus. What he's saying is, when we're trying to rely on our own fleshly discernment, we're always looking out for our best. We protect ourselves. We promote ourselves. And while God will protect us and promote us, his discernment is never going to guide us into making personal decisions. It's going to be based on something bigger, on his goals in the world, because sometimes his goals lead us into uncomfortable or even dangerous situations. The next thing I ask him is, so how does that understanding of discernment play into discerning the three voices in my head? And here's what he told me. First, you need to understand that your thoughts will come based on where you have focused your mind. Remember, you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. So to have sanctified thoughts, focus on me and seek my kingdom, and your thoughts will follow. Yesterday, I actually posted on my website, anthonyingram.com, a blog post called Spiritual Warfare, The Battle for Your Mind. And this is the premise that post was built on, that Scripture calls us continually to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, to think on things that are holy and good and pure and just and right, because we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And as we view him, we are being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to another. Now, what I did there, I just mixed a good number of Scriptures all together in one line. But you can find all of that on that blog if you're interested. But what he's telling me is where you fix your mind is going to lead how your internal discernment, how your internal voice is going to guide you. And so as a Christian, if you're reading Scripture every day and you're listening to worship music and you're praying and you're really trying to focus on spiritual things, you go to Bible study, you do all of those things. We don't do those things to earn righteousness. We do those things so that our mind is transformed, which then transforms our lives. And so he's saying for the Christian, that is going to lead your internal voice to be a holy internal voice. You are going to have a righteous voice in your own head. However, even as a Christian, if you were to fix your attention to all kinds of negative music and only pay attention to what's going on social media or in the national news and, you know, right now, riots and pandemic and all of these things, if you're going to fix your mind on, raunchy books or horror films or some of these sitcoms that are driving national narratives, your mind is going to be corrupted by those things. Even if you're a Christian, your internal thoughts are going to run away from the Lord, and your personal transformation is going to be stalled. I learned this lesson very hard a few years ago when I used to watch a network in the U.S. called Comedy Central very regularly. Comedy Central, many of the shows on there are very vulgar, they're very sexual in their joking. They're also very creative, and I used to excuse it in my own mind, saying, I know it's not right, but I think it's funny, I think they're creative, I enjoy, you know, this aspect of the production process, and I had all kinds of excuses. But at the end of the day, what I discerned was that the more I watched some of those shows, listening to these sexual jokes and these raunchy stories, it was actually putting sexual thoughts in my head and leading me back to my own sinful ways. It started putting desires in me to go back to pornography or worse things. I won't go into that here. But my mind, even as a Christian, even as a pastor, was being transformed by the filthy jokes on that network. And I had to turn the network off. And so the Lord told me back in 2012, what you focus on is going to drive your internal voice. Going back to my prayer journal, the Lord said this: secondly, when the enemy speaks, when the devil speaks, it's going to sound like truth. Yet underneath is going to be a permission to rebel and to sin without consequences. He is working to build a false image of me, a false image of God, and who I want you to be becoming. I already told you, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can get into your mind and take control, he's going to win that battle. He's going to destroy the image God has in mind for your life and what you're supposed to be becoming. And he does that by tapping into our secret selfish desires, our secret passions that aren't biblical, and he starts making excuses that, well, you know, God's forgiving. If you sin like that, he's going to forgive you. You don't have to worry about that. He starts making excuses for how we can sin, how we can live in selfishness without any judgment from the Lord, without any consequence. Once we do those things again, then he becomes the voice of condemnation. His name is the accuser of the brethren, is what he's called in Scripture. He wants to accuse us and then make us feel worthless. We gave into the sin thinking there's no consequence, but then the shame and condemnation that come will hold us in bondage way longer than the sin might. Back to my journal. The last thing the Lord told me is, third, to know for sure if it is me speaking, learn to ask me the question, how is the kingdom, how is the gospel, or how is my personal sanctification advanced by what I'm hearing? He's saying, if you really want to know if what I'm telling you is true, then press in. Ask more questions. Go deeper. Don't just listen to one little statement in your head and assume it's God, but bring it back to the biblical foundation of, is this advancing the kingdom? Is this advancing the gospel? Is this drawing me toward God and leading me to higher levels of sanctification as a more mature disciple? Or is this actually a road that's going to lead away? The devil can manipulate for so long, but if you learn to ask these questions, only the voice of God is going to prevail, because the devil will eventually overplay his hand. And so the Lord said, if you really want to know it's me, press in. Press in, ask more questions, and let me reveal myself to you. He wants this kind of relationship with you. He doesn't want to tell you one thing and then throw his hands up and say, why aren't you listening to me? He wants relationship. He wants to guide you. So we have to learn to press in. Now that we understand the three voices in our heads, and we've talked a little bit about discernment and how we can make up our minds as to who it might be that's speaking to us when we hear these things, I want to share with you three steps to practicing discernment, especially in this area of hearing God's voice. Because the Bible tells us we have to be growing in discernment. Nobody's born with discernment. Nobody's born with knowledge and wisdom. We grow in these things. And so growing in discernment becomes the process of aligning ourselves with God. And so we have to learn to identify the devil's deceptions. We have to recognize when he's speaking permission to glorify ourselves at the expense of God's word. We don't want to be like Adam and Eve and believe the lies of the devil and throw out the truth of the Lord. So as we grow in maturity of Christ, we should be able to distinguish truth, right? That's what the Hebrew of writers describes as those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. That's Hebrews 5:14. And so here are the three steps that I think we have to learn to practice daily to train ourselves to discern God's voice and to align ourselves with Him. Step one is training our senses. The Bible makes it clear that because we're transformed by the direction our minds go, we have to be cautious with what we allow in. Too often, Christians allow our minds to be polluted by everything. And I mean, stuff coming at us from news, from sitcoms, from Facebook feeds, from Twitter updates, from every other tool available under the sun for entertainment and information. Most of us do this without the filter of Scripture in place to keep us from this downward pull. The reason I felt so strongly to record this podcast now, this topic now, is because with everything going on in the world, so many Christians are living with anxiety and fear and depression and hopelessness because of this coronavirus pandemic, because of mass riots, economies tanking, all of these things. Those things may be true, but our hope is not in the world, it's in God. And so we have to learn to train our senses to process these things correctly. There is only one definite way we can train our senses to know truth. That is the Word of God. That is the Bible, God's infallible revelation to man. If you are a Christian and you are not reading the Bible every day, your mind is exposed to the enemy. Your mind is up for grabs. You have to put that filter of Scripture into your mind so that it becomes the lens through which you see the world. The Bible has to become the foundation of our mindset each and every day. If we want the voice of our minds to lead us into righteousness, and we want to come in agreement with everything the Holy Spirit's speaking to us, then we have to begin guarding what we put in, and it must be filtered through the teachings of Scripture. There's only one definite way we can train our senses to know truth, and it's the Bible. We can't just read the Bible, study the Bible, look at Greek, whatever. We have to make the Bible the foundation of our mindset every single day. The second step for growing in discernment is to reject the devil's input. And again, this is something tangible we have to do. It's not a passive action. In Luke chapter 4, after Jesus is baptized, we see him go into the wilderness and the devil comes and is tempting him and bringing all these things at him. He comes just like he did to Adam and Eve, challenging the word of God. Did God really say this? Let's put that to the test. What I want you to notice, though, is that the last thing we heard the spoken before this story is that as Jesus comes out of the water being baptized, God says, "You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The devil doesn't just come to challenge the written word of God. The first thing out of the devil's mouth is, "If you are the Son of God," here's the temptation to prove it. He's not just trying to get Jesus to doubt the written word of God, the scriptures. He's trying to get Jesus to doubt what God has just directly spoken over him out loud for the crowds to hear. This is my beloved son. He's trying to get Jesus to reject his own personal identity given by the Father. You are my son. Well, if you're really the son of God, then here's what you have to do to prove it. Jesus, however, has grounded his thinking in the Word of God, and he uses it as a weapon of choice to reject the devil's temptation. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 calls the Bible, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. It's a weapon. Responding to every lie out of the devil's mouth with Scripture, Jesus successfully defeats his attacks. The same has to be true for us. In James 4, verse 7, we are told, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. There's no better way to resist a demonic lie than to be prepared with the truth of God's word. John 8:32 tells us you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So when the devil starts coming at you with shame and with guilt, and he's telling you all these lies that you're not good enough, you need to learn to quote Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're resisting the devil with God's truth, and he'll eventually flee from you and give up the attacks. When the devil tries to tell you that God doesn't love you, you're too sinful, God's punishing you, we need to learn to quote Romans 5:8. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You can personalize it. I know that God shows his love for me in that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. The Bible teaches us that the weapons we use against the devil are not fleshly weapons. Through the Word of God and our new identity in Christ, we have a supernatural power to take every thought captive and bring it in obedience to Christ. Just see 2 Corinthians 10:3 to 6. We do this by countering every temptation of the devil with the truth from the Lord. The devil can talk to us all he wants, and he's going to. You'll never shut him up. But when we know the truth of God's word and we practice our discernment over every thought that comes into our mind, he cannot fool us. And so the first step is train your senses. Train them through the Word of God. The second is to use your trained senses and what you've learned from the Word of God to reject the devil actively. The final step in growing in discernment is to obey the voice of the Lord. Once you've come to the point where your senses are trained and you can overcome the lies of the enemy, and you're seeking to keep your own mind conformed to the thoughts of Christ, bringing them in obedience to him, then the only thing left to do is to listen to God and do what he says. That's the foundational principle for the life of the Christian. Listen to God, do what he says. We want to be hearing him speak to us. Again, as I've already said, the reason God speaks to us is for relationship. It's not just so that we can have a prophetic declaration over the world. It's not so that we can be God's man of power for the hour. It's because he wants relationship with us. He wants to speak identity in us. He wants us to become who he's designed us to be. Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are his workmanship, his craft, the Greek word, his poem, being recreated in the image of Christ unto good works which he foreordained for us. So when we want to be hearing him speak, and he definitely wants to speak to us. So once we're sure it's him speaking, then we have to act on what he tells us. Relationship with the Lord requires obedience. Just look at John 14, 15. It must be the goal of listening to him to obey whatever he tells us to do. As we begin to act on what he says, our lives are going to come into alignment with his will for us. We will walk in power. We will see blessings. We will have breakthrough. Our entire lives will be changed because we will be in right standing with the lover of our souls. It is the greatest privilege of the Christian to live a life led by the Holy Spirit. But we must be diligent not only to ensure we hear his voice clearly, dismissing every distraction, but we have to walk in obedience to him. And so number one, train your senses. Number two, resist the devil. And number three, walk in obedience when you're sure that it's the Lord you're hearing. As we wrap up this episode, I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for everyone listening because it's a big challenge to practice discernment, learn to hear God, and then do what He says. But that is the basis of the Christian life, and it is worth every effort you put into learning to do this well, to have your senses trained, your discernment trained by the ongoing practice. And so, Lord, right now, I just lift up every person listening, Lord, that right now, as their mind is being attacked from every angle, as the enemy is speaking things to them that are absolutely not true, as the world is bringing in all of these news stories of hopelessness and despair and destruction and hate, Lord, You are love and You are good and You have a better message to declare to our minds and a better plan for our lives. And so, Lord, I pray for each person listening that they would be able to hear Your voice more clearly, that You would help them to discern when it's You speaking. Lord, when I learned to hear Your voice, You gave me such a personal clarification to know it was You. Lord, I'm not sharing that because it was personal, but I'm asking You to give the same thing to every person listening. Let them hear Your voice clearly. Speak Your love over them. Speak Your identity to them and guide them in their walk in this life. Father, do not leave us at the mercy of everything else that wants to overtake our mind. We put ourselves into Your hand and we want to hear from You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, that wraps up episode number 7. I hope you have been blessed by this. I think it is a timely message. I think it's a message that we need to hear when so much is coming against us. And so I really do pray that we as the body of Christ would have our discernment trained to hear the voice of God and to act on it. If you want to connect with me, you can always do that on my website at anthonyingram.com. That's the home of this podcast, my blog posts, and so much more. You can even invite me there if you're interested in having me speak in a ministry event, or you're looking for some personal counseling, or if you want to come on a mission trip with Sozo Ministries to Uganda or Kenya. You can do all of that there on my website, so check it out, anthonyingram.com. You can also connect with me on social media. I am on Facebook, Instagram, and Parlay. It looks like Parlor, if you know what I'm talking about, but Parlay. The username is Ingram Writer. I'm also on Twitter at @Ingram_Writer. The underscore has to be in there. Someone else has that username there. But I would love to connect with you on social media. If you have any prayer requests, I would love to take them there. You can also leave some voice feedback directly to the podcast at anchor.fm/thechristianlife. I'd love for you to connect with me there. Either way, let me know what's going on with you. I really do enjoy connecting with the people listening. I am currently waiting on the delivery of a better studio microphone from China. The order has been canceled twice because of coronavirus. I don't know when it's actually going to get here, but as soon as I get a better method of recording and a little bit more streamlined system of technology, I hope to make this a bi-weekly podcast every 2 weeks. I think right now I'm averaging once a month, but that's okay. If it's blessing you, you'll keep coming back. And if it's not, then it wasn't for you. So God bless you wherever He leads you. But I do appreciate those of you who are sticking it out. Just know I do have some better plans for this podcast. I actually have about the next 10 episodes outlined. It's just with the microphone and setup I have right now, it's a very difficult process. So I'm trying to get that better. Anyway, I don't know why I'm rambling about that. I will let you go. Until we do meet again, may God bless you.